Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
For those of you who are listening on radio, you haven't been able to read the title of tonight's show. It is Meta Rape and the Gay Penguins, which sounds like a band.
It could very well be.
Right?
Trademark.
I don't know what kind of band, what kind of music they might play.
It would have to be
smooth jazz.
It'd have to be like, I don't know, like,
it's funnier if it's smooth jazz.
Like, yeah.
Punk barbershop quartet or something. But, you know, something along those lines.
But all male a cappella.
All male a cappella punk rock.
There you go.
Right? You know, everybody's screaming, but they're yelling in like harmonies and stuff, wearing like the red, white, and blue styrofoam hats and the, you know, fancy suit
coats. The barber pinstripes.
That's right. That's right. You know what I'm talking about.
I gotcha.
Picking up what I'm laying down. Richie, you brought these in. Where do we start? The Gay Penguins?
You know, why not?
All right. This is from RT.com.
So you know it's legit. Russians would never put out false information to an American audience.
Never.
It's not, I have to point out, it's not from RTUSA.com or RT.com/USA, but it's under World News, apparently.
Yeah.
The headline here is Gay Penguins Become Foster Parents.
Good. Aww, good for them.
That's cute.
Right?
Now, my first question is, how did they fill out the paperwork? They don't have hands. During this breeding season, they did so with a freshly bonded pair of male birds named Elmer and Lima, or Lima, I'm not sure. Interestingly, Elmer received his name after the brand of glue, which keepers used to fix the shell of his egg, which was damaged by his parents in mid-December. The egg was placed in the nest that they built after the couple demonstrated that they could take care of a dummy first.
So they're not smart enough to realize that they're caring for a dummy egg, and they're like, nope, good, let's give them the real deal. They're clearly the best and brightest.
They literally like gave them, you know, like a pre-GED test. Right?
Okay.
Like, you know, they're like, we're not gonna, like, you gotta do this test first before we give you the real thing.
Do they still do that in like American high schools? Like, take the baby home so you know you don't want to get pregnant, teenager.
Oh, maybe they do. I think that, don't they just have those devices now that they have to like care for the baby and that kind of thing?
Like a Tamagotchi egg?
Yes.
Okay,
thank you.
I don't know.
Yeah,
we got those taken away in high school.
Yeah, I didn't have those in high school. So.
I didn't have one either. Just saw of course,
I didn't attend much of high school.
Okay.
You know, I graduated freshman year and that was it.
I have several canes, one made of bull penis.
Oh.
That's better than bull, well, crap.
Given to me by a rancher's wife.
I don't know. I guess it depends on your opinion, right?
I guess so.
I love handing that to people without telling them.
I bet.
Yeah.
Go, like, here, hold this for me. And then I giggle. And they go, like, why are you giggling? I go, because you're holding my cane. And they're like, so? And I, you know what that's made.
That was like the awkward moment when we found out what pizzle meant and the dog was already eating it. The like dog bones, I guess that's like code word for penis.
Okay. Pizzle was pipe.
I don't know. Not in dog treat language.
Oh, right.
Not according to the internet.
I always thought dog treats are just like milk bones. Right?
No, this is
not in the Snoop Dogg treat language.
Well, that's just another way of saying shaggy snack.
Okay.
Same-sex couples of various species of penguins fostered eggs in the past at several other institutions in Spain, Germany, Brazil, and the U.S., Director Fox said. The latest example in Syracuse should be taken as inspirational by humans when they consider what a successful family should look like. Okay.
What?
Two loving parents. It doesn't have to be male.
This director, Director Fox, thinks humans should look to penguins as the latest example in what a successful family should look like.
Yes, let's look to the species who doesn't know the difference between a real and a dummy egg. That's who we need to model human behavior after.
The Humboldt penguin's natural habitat stretches along the western coast of Latin America, from southern Chile to northern Peru. The species is considered vulnerable due to commercial fishing, which reduced their food supplies and predation of colonies by animals like rats and feral cats.
thought it was going to be vulnerable due to lack of intelligence. Just breed out the dummies.
You big dummy. Penguins. How do they work? I'm crossing
they just
like
waddle.
Songs and jokes.
Then they get eaten by seals.
Seal or seals?
Like the artist seal?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or like seals and Croft.
Okay. Crosby in there somewhere?
A DAO, that's a decentralized autonomous organization, something that exists on the Ethereum blockchain. It's a set of instructions. It's kind of a business, but it's a set of instructions that says, hey, if this, then do that, a bunch of different times. So a DAO has been created on the Ethereum blockchain to free Julian Assange.
Ooh.
And it has raised $7.5 million worth of Ethereum already. So those of you who aren't familiar with Julian Assange, get on your magic rectangles right now and in your favorite search engine, just type in Julian Assange, Assange, and read all about it. A group of cypherpunks recently initiated a decentralized autonomous organization in order to try and free the incarcerated WikiLeaks founder and activist Julian Assange. So far, the DAO has raised $7.5 million, and the funds will be used to help with Assange's legal fees and raise public awareness about his case.
That's awesome.
Okay, that's awesome. Is that the problem that Julian Assange is running into? Like, he doesn't have enough money to buy his way out?
That's a great point.
Or that there's not enough people who are aware of his situation that is actually going to make an impact on the government's letting him go?
We the cypherpunks are rallying to the cause of a fellow cypherpunk in distress. Now, I love that because the cypherpunks created cryptocurrency.
Again, don't get me wrong. I like the attitude and the motivation behind it. It's just he is such a high priority target for state actors and the government.
Yeah.
Right? That I don't know how much press you would have to get and how many, individual citizens of the world would have to start rallying behind him and demanding, I'll tie this to the truckers. Like, look how many truckers there are in like Ottawa, Canada right now. And the Canadian government's like not even budging right at the moment.
Right.
Right. So they've had Julian Assange for years. There's almost no public support for him outside of, very small circles.
Yeah.
And even if you got a large amount of support, you think that's what's going to cause them to let him go?
I mean,
a million people want you free, so I guess we'll just let you go now.
I want to say this, and it might not be said correctly, but I see this as like a reverse propaganda campaign.
Sure.
Right, where they're going to take this money and they're going to put it into advertising of some sort or different sorts, hopefully. U.S. news from Newsweek. Mother, right, Danzig, anyone?
Okay, yeah.
Mother alleges she was virtually groped in attack inside of Facebook's metaverse.
Oh, no.
It's happened to me before.
In the metaverse?
You've been in Facebook's metaverse?
No.
Oh.
Maybe that was a dream. Never mind. Carry on.
Okay.
I was like... Wow, that's surprising that you've
coming
been in
up
the
on Free Talk Live. Yeah. Nikki's dreams and fantasies.
How does virtually being
that's going to triple our audience numbers?
It probably is. A British mother recently came forward, if you want to call it that, with accusations that she was virtually groped during an attack by 3 to 4 male avatars inside Meta's metaverse.
It's like so hard to take this seriously.
I made a joke last night. It's not even my joke, but it's 9 out of 10 people enjoy gang rape.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
She clearly did not enjoy this.
Which, by the way, is also democracy.
Yeah.
Right. Is 9 out of 10 people telling the one guy what to do.
It's sad that you have to make that connection for our audience. You guys figure it out.
It's sad that I have to make that connection for human beings at all. But like I say that with but I was once a person who needed to be told that. Nina Jane Patel, 43, wrote in a Medium blog post in December that within 60 seconds of joining a lobby inside the metaverse created by Meta formerly known as Facebook, she was verbally and sexually harassed by a group of male avatars.
I just can't stop thinking of GTA. Like, what do you think this is? You know, like,
I need this. Yeah. Wow. In the post, the mother of four recounted watching her avatar get groped and virtually gang raped.
I'm glad these miscreants have a virtual outlet for this instead of taking it into the real world.
She remembered it being so horrible that she was unable to react fast enough.
So turn off log the
computer. Out. Yeah. Log out.
Like, so
turn
walk
off
away.
Your TV. Like, unplug what? Your game. You know, put down the magic rectangle, whatever. You know, I don't know how to access
it's
the
just,
metaverse.
It's so hard to take this seriously because there are actual like people being sexually assaulted. Right. And this lady has the audacity to even say this.
To write a Medium blog.
Yeah. Like, what?
As long as it's not an extra Medium blog.
Jesus. That's a double callback.
That's right. I brought up extra Medium again yesterday, too. So,
okay.
It's a echoing dual repetitive redundancy.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
I really think that the Russians are going to invade Ukraine, and I think that they're going to take back Ukraine like the way they had.
Are you gonna help pay for that? Are you gonna pay Russia to do that?
No, I don't have any financial power to help them out. But I, as you know, that I'm on the Russian side. At least I'm calling on the radio in support of them.
Well, I was going to say, when you do call, you mention that you are a communist. Is that correct?
Right. So therefore, I support like the Chinese alliance with Russia and them taking back Ukraine. And wasn't Ukraine part of Russia for thousands of years? Wasn't that like Georgia is part of Ukraine? I don't know that area too much. But
that whole geography, at least I'm 49 years old, so at least during my lifetime that I'm aware of, that whole area has sort of come and gone and, you know, been hashed over several times. So, and I can't tell you, you know, for how long, what was what.
What do you have against the Ukrainians?
Well, you know what? I have nothing against that, but I think the communist way is better. Like you're talking about the universal basic income.
Yeah, I have a question for you then. You said that you support, you know, the Chinese, which are a communist organization. Do you support the killing and hunting of the Uyghurs?
Communism is to share equally, like the universal basic income. And
well, they're not sharing equally with the Uyghurs. They are torturing them.
I have another question, Sarah. Are you currently in a commune?
No, I'm not in a communist.
Why not?
Culture, but I am receiving a communist program. I'm on disability SSI.
So is anybody collecting, you know, a government pension? So if you claim to be a communist, why do you not live in a commune?
Well, I happen to be here, and it's more important to educate people about communism in America and build the American Communist Party.
Isn't the best way to do that by being in a commune and leading by example, showing other people how the commune is superior?
You can do that in the U.S.
Well, I mean, that's it, because we got communist parties here in America, and then don't you guys have communist party meetings in New Hampshire? You just have to find
it.
I mean, if there is, it's really on the down low, that's for sure.
That's usually the best reputation for the whole communist thing, is like all the communists can already like pool their funds and distribute it equally, and they don't.
I don't really know what meme means. I've seen the word, but I don't exactly know what it means.
It's a picture with some words on it.
It's a generational thing.
Yeah, it's fine. It's okay.
But anyhow, I really called in regard to that. Well, the communist was talking about, he called in.
Communist Sarah, yes.
communism is not cute. It's not quaint. It's not benevolent. It is downright evil. Mm. It's based on a lie. Actually, if you look and see with your eyes, what exists is individual human beings. State and nation are words. What actually exists in the entity with the rights is the individual. And communism is based on trying to wipe out the individual, and it's evil and it's garbage.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm giving you a round of applause, Sarah.
Individual rights only.
Let me take the other side of that briefly then, if I may. I don't necessarily have a problem with the ideals of the communists. More so with like how they want to get there.
Sure. So I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
In a true free society, there is room for people to have a commune if they want one.
I remember you talking earlier in the program about people who go to what were elected to offices in Washington.
It's a good memory.
Go there and eventually become part of the system in a kind of a way. And I think you're right. There it's much more the exception of people who don't become part of the system, who do the things that should be done and need to be done. And I think some examples would be George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. I think Ronald Reagan was a mover in the right direction. I think Donald Trump was a mover in the right direction. Those people all suffered tremendously. Just think of the suffering that Abraham Lincoln went through. It's unimaginable. I can't even imagine what he was in for.
So I wasn't alive for most of the people you mentioned, with the exception of maybe Donald Trump. What specifically, do you feel like Donald Trump did that was correct? Because he did a whole bunch of stuff that wasn't, including continuing to bomb people, as did his predecessor. And the predecessor before that guy, along with all sorts of other things related to taxation. The Federal Reserve, of course, did their quantitative easing, et cetera, and so on.
Well, I think he had, first of all, he had the nerve to become president.
You old enough to remember stumping, like 1700s?
No.
1800s?
I was not born in the 1700s.
No? Huh.
Yeah.
I saw you there. So yeah, anyway,
time travelers.
So in the old days,
what do they know?
Yeah, when people were campaigning, they were stumping. They'd literally go town to town, get up on a stump and give their speech, talk directly to the people.
I thought those were soapboxes.
Really, that's if they didn't have a stump.
Yeah, that too.
Oh, that was the manufactured stump, the artificial stump?
That came later.
Okay, I got you.
That came later, yeah.
So anyway.
They took the stump away and then replaced it with a soapbox to see if they were going to be good stumpers.
There's actually a product called Stump Away. And like, it's this powder that you're supposed to drill holes in a stump in your yard and pour the powder in the holes. And then.
Portal.
And then.
Shiny object.
Yeah, definitely. And then take a lighter to it and set it on fire.
Nice.
Ooh.
Yeah, and it's supposed to burn the stump, make it disintegrate.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, shiny object,
so
David.
Shiny objects. So back to the non-shiny objects, stumping, our political process, campaigning. So we're still stuck with the system that we have for the time being. So we vote for people, and we need to know stuff about them. And so tell me, in society, where do you get the chance to question and get answers from the people that want to rule over you in a public setting so that others can hear your question and hear the answer?
Where
do you get a chance?
That's a great
town hall meeting.
I mean, we all know that this is, theater. None of it's real. And I appreciate your passion in, wanting to ask a legitimate question. More people need to do that. That's true. But I just...
Backpedal.
I don't know why. I don't know.
It's just
not surprising, It's like looking at you, picturing Obama looking at you, who is clearly going to ask a hard question that he doesn't want to answer...
No, you're wrong. Let me stop you right there. You're wrong. He didn't know that. I told you, listen again. Let me say it again. I sat through 3 rounds of him calling on people with their hands up.
I know.
And so he knew, he knew no difference between me and anybody else with my butt on the bench, with my arm up the first 3 times around.
So how many people were there?
Let me finish, please. Then I told you. I discovered with absolute certainty that it was all fake. And once I determined that it was all fake, it didn't matter what I did, because no matter what I did, I was not going to get called on. So since I was absolutely not going to get called on, no matter what, because these people were all pre-chosen with pre-written questions that they asked him, then I had more to gain by pointing out to everybody that was there, including the news that was filming it, that this is fake.
It's just a little ridiculous to me how, I don't know. I just think wasting this time, like, discussing things like that is just... I don't know. It's ridiculous. Like, there's
that's
so
what we
many,
do here.
There's so many other issues that need to be discussed. So getting so pissed off about, like,
Obama didn't call on me.
Answering your question. And it's like, okay, so we have this big room full of, I don't know, you didn't answer my question, so we don't know how many people were in the room. That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
Maybe it was 12 people, which could be understandable why you might be upset after three people being called on. Your question didn't get answered. Whatever. But if we have a room full of 300 people or even 100 people or 50 people, giving three chances when there's probably a lot of people waiting to ask a question, I just think.
But he kept his hand up and he stood up. So they knew he had something important to say.
And it's like, we all know it's orchestrated, and it's like, I get the frustration and I do appreciate the passion, but it's like.
Just put your hand down and sit down.
It is frustrating to me to see somebody who can recognize that it is a show, but yet still clings to the illusion that there's a belief there that, like, somehow, you know, people can do something about it within the system.
Portland, Oregon's getting a lot of advertisement for having a huge homeless population, probably because they legalized heroin. Or whatever they did. I don't know what they exactly
It was, did, but... having lived on the West Coast for more than 20 years, I can tell you for a fact that the homeless population was already huge in Portland as well as Seattle before Oregon legalized all the drugs.
It seems like homelessness is a problem in a lot of big cities.
Go.
Right? Like, no matter what big city you go
in
to.
In my observation.
Yeah, no matter what big city you go to, it's like, oh my God, homelessness is
in
out
fact,
of control.
I also know that the Seattle, Washington area, which is, I mean, almost a clone of the Portland area as far as their politics and the way they run their cities and that kind of thing. Other big cities would literally buy their homeless one-way tickets to Seattle or Portland because those two cities specifically have the highest quality of life for the homeless.
See, so there you go. State actors working in their benefit at the detriment of other state actors.
And also, like, there's really no winter in those. I mean, they get like a couple weeks of snow or whatever every year, but essentially there's no winter. So somebody homeless in Detroit who's freezing on the street and, you know, they're like, hey, here's a bus ticket to Portland. Well, they're like, sure.
So we have a major homeless problem here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it seems like to me they're a bit more vile, a little bit more evil than what you might see on the West Coast. But I imagine everywhere it's pretty much the same. I mean, we can all agree that panhandling and that kind of thing is kind of a blight whenever you have that on your main street and you're trying to have a bunch of, I guess you would call, interesting shops and something like that. And you have panhandlers at every single corner trying to gain money off of people that are just trying to, you know, tourists, you know, and it kind of gets annoying. So what are we going to do about this? So
privatize the street corner. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, that's one choice. Well, I guess a little bit of privatizing, but perhaps what I was thinking, if we do the numbers, okay, how could we get homeless people, and we have to force them. I mean, this is the negative thing. Is there has to be a situation where you say, get off the streets.
You just lost
now,
the
how
captain.
Are we going to do that?
Yeah. As soon as you invoke force on anybody, sorry. I'm not with you.
I mean, I get it. Like, people think that homeless people are inconvenient and they're not nice to look at. But, I mean, what do you think it's like to be homeless? And I just, like, what are we going to do with these people? It would be nice to somehow help them get housing.
I was calling to talk about Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi!
I now have some questions after hearing her the last call. So I'd like to go through a line of questioning. Maybe we'll get to Whoopi, maybe we won't. There's always, well, next week, since I can only call in once a week when this point when Ian's not on.
Okay.
My question is this. Captain, you said that you don't like solutions that have to do with force, coercion, and things like that, right?
I did say that.
Great. What happens if a hobo is on your property panhandling your guests?
It's a good question. I would run him off.
Okay. What if he doesn't want to go?
Well, then, because it's private property, I believe it's within my rights to force him to.
At some point or another, force gets employed, right? Hopefully it doesn't go terribly awry, but, you know, force and coercion are on the table when we're talking private property, right?
Correct.
It's on the table with public property, too. This is where I've said it a number of times. Right.
Well, hang on.
Violence is always an answer.
Mark was leading us down a path here. So, okay. So yes, as far as private property is concerned, that's how I would handle it.
Can you smell the primroses?
If you own the entire city, you know, I assume you employ some sort of agency to, you know, rent out the land to the inhabitants and that kind of a thing. There's agreements for that kind of a thing in place in a private city. And so the same sort of things would apply in a private city as would apply on private property, just in a mecca scale instead of a minimal scale.
What if I make the breathtakingly bad decision of allowing the renters in my city to decide how hobos are handled? Would they then legitimately be able to jettison a hobo from their town?
From the town, I don't know. From their property that they've contracted to live on, I would say yes.
But I own the whole town.
Mark owns the property. He said you guys handle it. So unless there's restrictions on the way you've said that they could handle it, they can handle it.
Okay. So how is this demonstrably different than what currently goes on today?
The legitimacy of property ownership.
Yeah, that and also, it would be impossible for you to own land in such a fashion because governments claim all of planet Earth that I'm aware of. There's very few regions of planet Earth that are not claimed by some form of government.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.